Like to welcome everybody back. This is the sixth shiur in Sharei Tshuva by Rabbeinu Yonah Gerundi. We are beginning this evening with the 13th principle. The principle of seeing the light sins as great sins in one's eyes. There are four different reasons, four different aspects of this concept of seeing light sins as great within one's own eyes. The first one, ki eino lahabit lekatnut avera, that a person should not look into the smallness of sin. But what he should look at, though, is the greatness of the one that commanded him. No matter how small the sin might be, it still nevertheless is one aspect of the will of God. It is still one matter which Hashem has commanded us with. Very often we have small children, and it's not uncommon that we ask our children to do things. Things that are very simple. We tell our children, for example, oh, don't open up the refrigerator without permission from Ima. A 6-year-old opening the refrigerator may not seem like such a problem, but when the 2-year-old decides to use it as a staircase, that's a whole other matter. So the fact is that the 6-year-old opening it may not realize the problem. But nevertheless, there is an issue. And that issue is the most important of all issues, and that is that Ima, that Abba, that one of the parents had told him not to open the refrigerator. And the fact of the matter is, it's not all too uncommon in our small vision of the world that there may be more to every matter. That what little that we see in terms of the perspective of things and the outcome of what can happen, we only see a small chunk of all of that. But on the bigger perspective, it may have a far huger result. But regardless of this, the main concern here is that God commanded, and therefore we need to listen. Just like Ima says, don't open the fridge. If the child doesn't listen, the offense is not in the opening of the fridge. The offense is in not listening to Ima. And so it is with the smallest sin, whatever it might be. Not listening to Hashem is the same, be it small or be it great, in the level of the avera, the level of the sin. The second aspect, Hashani, ki ayetze sholet ba'averot hakalot. In truth, the Yetzer Hara, one's evil inclination, is particularly strong in those places where the Avera, where the sin seems to be the least problematic. It's just a small sin, a baby sin. What's the big deal? What could come out from this? There is where the Yetzer Hara needles the most. That's where he takes hold of the person. Vulai tiyezot siba lahatmid ben. And perhaps because it seems like it's such a small sin, a person would find himself in a position where he's being a person who repeats over and over again this same small sin. Vaz yashvu gam hem kehamurot mitzterev onesh kol pam. Then even these small sins begin to add up and the punishment compounds. The Sharei Tshuva gives us a nice example of this. He says it's like a silken thread. We ply it over and over and over again, one on top of the other, folding it and twisting it. And what you find is after a very small amount of time, that thin thread becomes a very thick rope. So it is here also. Hashlishi, the third reason that we have to see even the lightest sin as also being a great sin. By repeating over and over the sin, nasit lo keheter v'yifrok ulam alav v'lo yishtamer emena v'hashev im porke ol umumrim ledvar echad. What will end up happening is that eventually, by having seen this sin as being so light and having repeated it over and over again, he may have, heaven forbid, come to the position where he no longer sees this as being a sin at all. And then what? Then he finds himself being a mumar, being an apostate to one part of Torah. A person who denies one aspect, one word, one letter in the Torah. And denying a part is as if a person is denying the whole. For all, from beginning to end, is the will of God. And the fourth reason that Rabbeinu Yonah gives us, ki im nitzcho hayom hayetzer b'dvar katan yinatzcheu machar b'dvar gadol. What we find is if today a person falls into the trap of a small sin, tomorrow he finds himself falling into the trap of bigger and greater sins. It's almost inevitable that this will happen. But having made light of the smallest of sins, things begin to compound. Every sin, increasing upon the tuma, increasing upon the impurity within a person. V'amru rabbeinu zichronam levracha, the rabbis of blessed memory have said, v'havi zahir b'mitzvah kala kivachamura. A person should be careful about the lightest mitzvah like the most stringent of all mitzvot. V'od amru rabbeinu, the rabbis further said, shemitzvah goreret mitzvah ve'avera goreret avera, that one mitzvah, one good deed, drags along another good deed. One sin drags along another sin. Why is that the case? It's ordained this way from the very heavens. Sheschar mitzvah, mitzvah. Uschar avera, avera. The reward for a mitzvah, the reward for doing something positive, for fulfilling God's will, is the opportunity to again fulfill God's will. Think of this in terms of the knight in shining armor. If he successfully is able to go out and to save the princess, the next time there is a crisis, it's going to be him who's going to be given the opportunity again to be able to run and do for the king, and so increase upon his merit and the merit of his people. The opposite, though, is also very much that same case. That a person who sins, that he opens the door for more sin, that his reward is that he is given the opportunity to sin again and again. The opportunity lays there before him to draw him further away. This is his payment for denying his Creator. We find that this is practically seen in every single drug rehab program that I've ever seen. The first thing they always mention and tell you is that it all starts with something small. Person thinks, "Wow, what's the big deal? Smell a little paint thinner, smell a little glue." Person gets himself involved, He opens the door by saying, it's not a big deal to have substances drive one's life. The next thing you know, it's a little bit of weed. The next thing you know, it's a little something harder than that. Injections and sniffing and eventually who knows what. So that is the case. That one thing will lead to another. The best way to prevent oneself from coming to sin is by starting with the smallest sins and being most protective from violating God's will in those smallest places. Where a person knows that he's weak, it's in that place that he needs to create the strongest barriers. It's there where he needs to take for himself the bigger chumrot. For a great rabbi, for someone who has already passed from gate to gate, for someone who has reached high levels, for him stringencies are may not be so necessary. But for us, we have to look and see where we're weak and to set for ourselves borders and guards, and to see these small little tiny things as being the very things that can topple down the whole tower. The 40th chapter begins the 14th principle, vidui, confession, admitting our sins before our Creator. Shenemar v'itvada asher chata aleha. It is a pasuk from Vayikra, Leviticus, that tells us that we must admit our sins . But not only our sins. We need to also admit the sins of our forebears, of our fathers and grandfathers. V'yeshalav laskir avonot v'avonot avotav. So not only just his sins, but the sins of his fathers. Ki haya ne'na shalehem be'achozo me'aseh avotav b'yado. Because since he went ahead and he continued along the same vein of his fathers and grandfathers and great-grandfathers' sins, because he embraced the natural tendencies for wrong that he has within him, he has to try and rectify the very path that he tread along. He has to sear up the sickness from its very source. And by admitting the sins of his fathers and grandfathers, by realizing that this is something which has been a sickness that has run in his genetics, that has run in his upbringing, that he's able to bring an effect, tshuva, a return for the line. That he can prevent himself and his further progeny from walking again in the footsteps that led into darkness. The 41st chapter begins the 15th principle, Hatfila, prayer. Yitpalel al Hashem v'vekesh rachamim lachaper et kol avonotav. We have to pray to Hashem that He should forgive all of our sins. Prayer, as Rabbi Yonah will explain to us shortly, has many places in the process of return. Its most fundamental place, though, says in Hosea, Unshalama afarim svatenu, that by use of our lips, by use of our power of prayer, we are able to pay for the cows, to pay for the sacrifices that are due from us for having strayed from Hashem. Yachshov v'dinecha chatot parim l'ratzon lanu l'fanecha, that our viduim, that our admittance of sin, and that our prayers should make us acceptable once again before God, just as the sacrifices did. V'hizkir parim, and it mentions the idea of parim specifically, the idea of cows. Ki hatat par haita pnimiyot. The cow used in the chatat, used in the sin offering, was brought to the most innermost places. They would sprinkle from its blood onto the parochet, onto the curtains of the Holy of Holies, and they would offer it on the golden altar. Forty-second chapter. The penitent should pray to Hashem that He erase his transgressions as thick clouds and his sins as clouds. That he desire in him, that Hashem should once again want him and accept him as if he never sinned before. Prayer, the sacrifices, they are part of our service to God, to ask Him to take us once again back into His confidence. כי יתכן להיות האבון נסלח ונבדה מן היסורין ומכל גזרה ואין לשם חפץ בו ומנחה לא יוצא מידו. It can be that a person, that he should have the sin forgiven, but nevertheless find himself in a position where he's still not desired by his Creator. And the prayer is part of this offering, asking once again to be brought back into that confidence. Think for a moment. Someone has a very tight and strong relationship with a dear loved one, and for some reason things go awry and there's a separation. Person broke his trust. Person sinned against another. How difficult will it be for those two people to once again have a relationship as they once had? Difficult. The two people are apart, and even though they may have come to an agreement and understanding in the situation, they may not yet have come to a point where they can again be friends and the relationship come together. What then does a person do in those situations? They communicate. The person who sinned against the other communicates to him his deep innermost desire to once again befriend him, to once again be close to him. he once again have that same relationship that they enjoyed, that he should be desirous again to his friend. And so it is with us. If we're straying from Hashem's will, we've gone awry. There's no question that we need to take this approach from the depths of our hearts, to ask once again to Hashem that he should accept us and take us and bring us close.
B'tavat ha-tzadikim min ha-tzlachot lafek ratzon me-Hashem v'shachbots behem.
What's the success that tzaddikim desire? They desire to endear themselves to Hashem, that Hashem should desire them.
Urtzono ha-chayim ha-kayamim v'amitiim v'aor ha-gadol ha-kolel kol ha-nimot.
To have Hashem's want in him is the everlasting life, the truth, and the great light that encompasses all joys. It is the true desire of our hearts inside, our souls, that we should be attached to Hashem.
ועוד יתפלל בעל התשובה על השם תמיד שיעזרו על התשובה.
And we must always pray to Hashem. All those that repent must pray to Hashem for his help, for his help to bring them on a path of repentance.
כמו שנאמר, השיבני והשובה כי אתה השם אלוקי.
You Hashem, turn me, and I'll be turned. For you Hashem, you are my God.
Chapter 44 begins the 16th principle, Tikkun Hamuvat Ba'asher Yuchal Litkon.
That we must correct misdeeds as far as possible.
כי בדברים שבין אדם לחברו, כמו הגזל והחמאס, לא יתחבר אבונו עד אשר ישיב את הגזלה.
If a person sins with another person, he steals from him, he takes something from him, he causes him damage, there's no kapara, there's no forgiveness for his sin, not until he returns that which he took.
וכן אם צייר את חברו והציק לו או הלבין פניו או סיפר עליו לשון הרע, אין לו כפרה עד שיבקש ממנו רחילה.
And so it is, if he causes troubles for his friends, if he pokes at him and needles him, he causes him to be embarrassed, he speaks about him lashon hara, speaks about him talebearers, there's no forgiveness for that person. Not until first he goes to the person that he offended and asks him to forgive him first.
V'ro'oy le'val tshuva la'sot kim kodem v'idoy k'dei sh'yitratzeh v'idoy.
Not only that, a person certainly is not going to turn around and say, Hashem, please forgive me. And while saying, Hashem, please forgive me, he's sitting there in his arm, handling and playing with the very things he stole. What good is that going to do? So certainly he needs to first return, to first make amends for what he did, to the best of his ability. Hashem only asks that we do the best that we can, to go to the utmost point of what is possible. And then when that is finished, to turn back to Hashem and ask for His forgiveness. Once a person has done that, once he has made amends with his fellow, and this friend that he unjustly caused harm to, be it physical, be it mental, has forgiven him, and the two of them have come back together and are once again in a positive relationship, or at the very least things are restored back to where they are, and he no longer is in the state of sin that he once was. Then his return to Hashem is very different.
Shneemar, as it says in Tehillim, Lecha levadecha chatati. To you alone have I sinned. Ve'hara be'enecha asiti. And I have done evil in your eyes. L'man titztak b'davrecha tizkeh b'shoftecha.
So David Melech continues and says that I've returned, I've taken, everything is fixed. The only thing isn't fixed is between me and you. Therefore, Hashem, forgive. And in your forgiving, in that way, you will be shown just in your words and right in your judgments. That the world will see your forgiveness despite how great and grand the sin is.
In the Midrash and Tehillim, they give an interesting mashal, the Chachamim, the rabbis of blessed memory. Mashal rofe shera'at ha-makah va'amar kama makah zot makah rabba me'od.
Person shows to a doctor this huge wound that he has on his body, and he says, doctor, no. Cure me. And the doctor answers, he says, this is a huge wound.
Amar acholei, the sick person says to him, "V'alo asher hukati, makah nachala lo haita zot ki im leva'avor higalot tzidkat rufuatcha, uva'avor harotcha atukucha."
He says, "The only reason I have such a big gaping wound is in order so that your abilities as a doctor should become known and should be seen." That there should be a revelation of how powerful your abilities to cure are.
That being all things the same, that once we've done our best to repair all that which we've done in the world, and then we turn to Hashem, and Hashem forgives us, it's a display of His righteousness that we are affecting and bringing into the world.
There's a lot more on this particular principle, which is going to be discussed in the fourth shar, in the fourth section of the Shari Kedusha.
Haikar Ashiva Asar. The 47th chapter, we begin the 17th principle, Lirdof Pulot Hachesed Vaimet.
pursuing kindness and truth.
Kinyan shneemar bechesed veemet yichupar avon uveyirat Hashem sumura.
With loving kindness and truth, sins are forgiven, and with fear of Hashem, one leaves evil.
Im achote lo shav el Hashem, lo yitkaper avono before lachesed.
If a sinner doesn't repent, his sins are not going to be forgiven from acts of loving kindness. Hashem doesn't make deals. You don't pay for your sins with mitzvot and other actions. You have to rectify the sin. You have to fix what's done.
כמו שנאמר, אשר לא יישא רפנים ולא ייקח שוחד.
He does not show favoritism, nor does he take bribes.
What then is the understanding of this pasuk? Bechesed ve'emet, with loving kindness and truth, sins are forgiven.
It says, there are certain sins, averot she'atshuva ve'yom kippurim tolim v'isurim merakim. There are certain sins that tshuva and Yom Kippur, they just hold things off. But then troubles within a person's life, that finally brings about a forgiveness, a final saving from the sins which a person did.
V'hini achesed, in these cases, kindness, yagen ba'ad achote,
loving kindness, acts of doing good between one person to the next.
Vishmor alav min yisurim, they will protect him from these troubles.
They will help to prevent him from having to bear the burdens for the extreme nature of the sin that he did.
But tshuva, his return, is still nevertheless necessary to effect anything.
We see the same idea, b'shigam atzil yatzil min ha-mavet kamo shekatuv utzdaka tatzil m'mavet,
just like that when a person gives charity to someone else, he, meaning the person who's giving the charity, he himself is saved from death.
That his acts of kindness to others and sustaining them sustains and saves he himself.
Now this is the chesed part of the pasuk.
What about the emet, the truth aspect?
Ba'od yesh avon v'hu avon chilul Hashem sh'atshuva v'yisurim tolim u'mita memareket.
There's another form of sin, another category of sin, and the worst of all possibilities, and that is the desecration of God's name.
That level of sin, tshuva, Yom Kippur, and Yisurim, and troubles in his life, they only hold things over until the day of his death. And his death is the final part of his cleansing.
Now when a man tries to uphold truth,
he supports it, he's awakened by it, he's living, breathing truth,
he causes the light of truth to shine before the eyes of his people,
he strengthens the hand of those people who are people of truth, and he elevates them.
And he throws down into the dust the factions of falsehood.
This is the way of sanctifying God's name.
And he increases the glory and honor of Hashem's truth in the service of Hashem in this world.
V'oz v'tiferet b'migdash torato, and he increases the strength and beauty of Hashem's Torah. And he's embracing truth. He's bringing truth into the world. The truth of Hashem. Akin barbot ba'alav lakadesh et Hashem ul'orer ha'emet la'achin otah l'sa'adah. So by his increasing actions to sanctify Hashem and to awaken, strengthen, and support truth, v'nislach lo ma'avon achilul, ima tshuva b'sumo ha'emet l'umat ashmat achilul, then his sin of desecrating Hashem will be forgiven by placing truth in parallel to the nature of his desecration. By demonstrating the very truth in the face of the falsehood which he created, and outshining that falsehood. And then midat tshuvato neged midat mishuvato, so will be measure for measure Hashem with him. Zebor b'chesed ve'emet yichu paravon. And this is the explanation of the idea of with kindness and truth sin is forgiven. The 18th principle, chapter 48. Heyot chatato negdo tamid, that he constantly remembers his sins. Ki roi lenefesh achotet lizkor avonoteha tamid, a person must always remember his sins. And this will be explained in the third char. There will be a lengthy discussion of this idea when we get to the third section of the four sections of the Shari Tshuva. Haikar hatishasar, the 19th principle. Azivat chito bihizdamen lo v'hu betokef ta'avato. Forsaking sin when challenged, when his desire is great. I mean, at that time and at that moment, when it's flaring within him, he holds back. And from his fear and awe of heaven, he does not allow himself to fall into the pit once again.
ואמרו רבותינו זכרון ברכה איזו בעל תשובה אשר תשובתו מגעת עד כיסא הכבוד.
Which is the בעל תשובה, which is the penitent, that his repentance reaches up to the כיסא הכבוד, to the honorable throne of God.
כאשר נבחן ויצא נקי באותו פרק ובאותו מקום ואותו אישה.
That when that person is tested at the same place and time and situation, and he succeeds. That tshuva is a tshuva shlema. It's a complete tshuva that reaches all the way into the heavens. It's a complete return.
It means to say, Kavash Yitzro v'nimlat ba'oz yirat Hashem b'g'on pachto.
That he conquered his desires and he saved himself through the strength of his awe and the greatness of his fear of God.
Now, if a person has not been challenged again, Hashem is all powerful and all seeing. He knows how you would react in the face of sin.
So Yosef ben Asher yirat Hashem devar yom yomo kacha yaseh kol hayamim. Every day he should be increasing upon his heart his awe of heaven.
V'kasher yachlif koach hayira day kvosh b'koach hazeh et yitro u'misat moshlo b'otzem atava alo bochen libot hu yavin v'notzer nafsho hu ayeda.
Hashem will know that he has reached that level. That he has reached that level where he would not fall again back into sin. And he, even though he was not tested again, will nevertheless be on that high level of tshuva.
Va'amru Rabbeinu Zichron Bracha, the rabbis of Blessed Memory have said, Yeshav lo avar avera, a person who sits and does not sin, notnim lo schar ka'ose mitzvah, he is given the reward as if he did a mitzvah, as if he did a positive commandment. Rabbeinu Yon explains it this way, Kigon sheba devar avera liyado, that sin comes to him, v'nitzul himena, and he holds himself back. He sits and does not sin. That is considered to be a tremendous righteous deed. He's not acting on that sin that's before him. And the last principle and the last chapters of the Shari Tshuva, of the first Shar, of the first gate, and with this we're leading to the end of the Shiur. Lashiv Rabbi Ma'avon Kasher Tasig Yado, that a person should turn others from sin with all of his ability. V'ne'emar Hocheach Tochiach Et Amitecha V'lo Tisa Alav Chet, you shall surely rebuke your nation and not allow them to sin. Lamando, you learn from here. Ki im lo yuchichenu, if you don't rebuke, yanesh achatatav, you will in fact also take upon yourself the burdens of their sins. Rebuke doesn't always mean a fist, a rod. Rebuke also means leading kindly away from where a person is and bringing him into the light. Each person according to his level. Each person according to where he is found. So we need to adapt the way we approach them in order to best bring them away from sin and into the light of Torah. Hine hishlamnu be'or ikrei ha'tshuva. With that, we complete the 20 principles of tshuva. Now, Rabbeinu Yonah looks to give us the means, the lessons of those things which will cause us to fall into sin. The deterrents of repentance, the things that hold us back from returning to God as properly. And I'm going to go ahead, I'm just going to read through the list in English. Talebearing, slander, succumbing to anger, entertaining evil thoughts, associating with the wicked, habitual partaking of the meals of those who lack enough for themselves, immodest gazing, theft sharing, saying, I'll sin and repent. Making oneself happy with the discomfort of his friend and fellow. Disassociating himself from the congregation. Shaming one's forefathers. Shaming one's teachers. Cursing the people. Preventing the people from performing a mitzvah. Causing one's neighbor to deviate from good and to set out on an evil path. Making use of a pauper's pledge, taking a bribe to pervert judgment, finding a lost object and not returning it to its owner, seeing one's son corrupting his ways and not protesting, eating the spoils of paupers, orphans and widows, contesting the words of sages, suspecting the innocent, scorning reproof, and scoffing at the mitzvot. this last list of things all have in common, that they are belittling the Torah. They are belittling our relationship with each other, and they're belittling ourselves. God willing, each and every one of us will protect themselves from all that which was mentioned here, and will apply to our lives the 20 principles of repentance, so that each and every single day we find ourselves one step closer to the Creator, one step closer to His will, and revealing that will in the world, and bringing Mashiach Tzidkenu B'mehrah Bimeinu. Amen.